What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Lewis Ezekiel. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Ryan Downey. Ryan, how are you doing on this fine Tuesday evening?
I'm fantastic. It's great to be back in the co-hosting chair for Short Shifts. You know, a quick anecdote here. I had a student, a voice student today, who I hadn't seen at all in January. And so he wished me a happy new year. And I know that it's kind of forbidden in the Keeping Carlson properties to be wishing happy new year. But since I haven't seen the Short Shifts audience or you, Lewis, since December 31st, I'm going to wish you a happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year. It's we're almost a month in here, if you can believe it. We've been things have been moving quick here. It's been a wild one. I think all of the snow days and other nonsense has really sort of served as a distraction, and now here we are at the end of the month, real quick. Fantasy hockey is zipping away into the past.
And we got 2 weeks left until the Four Nations face-off break. So why don't we get into it? You know, we've got some short-term outlooks, some mid-term outlooks here to get into. And we'll start with the short-term. And we know that we can't produce a piece of hockey media right now without mentioning the trade that happened over the weekend, the Rantanen and Natchez trade. So we figured we'd give you a quick hit from today's action. So looking at today's lines in Colorado, we saw Natchez continuing with Jonathan Drouin and McKinnon. Same line from the weekend. And Rantanen continuing on with Jackson Blake and Sebastian Aho. We did see a shift mid-game for Carolina in their last game with Taylor Hall moving up to the second line with Svechnikov and Kotkaniemi. And that is held for tonight. And it's been an exciting night for these players. We'll start with Colorado, where Nate just got one secondary assist on that very exciting Lekkonen goal, which he scored from the seat of his pants. Nate just has been getting in a lot of secondary assists since he joined the team. And with Drouin and McKinnon, that's great lineup placement, and I'm very excited for that. But what we have to talk about tonight, Lewis, is Andrei Svechnikov, who has two goals tonight with one assist each from Taylor Hall and Rantanen. So I'm assuming he is a pretty big fan of the trade right now. I'd like to know what you think of the Carolina lines here, Lewis, specifically with Hall on the second line. What do you make of this this shift for him?
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting. There does still seem to be a little bit of weakness down the right side of some of those lines, obviously bringing in, Rantanen, could fill that spot, but he can get on both sides. And I know there are a lot of people who are hoping to see some dual eligibility for Mikko coming up. I think that it is a good opportunity for Taylor Hall. You know, we've seen a lot of nobodies go on nice little streaks from these spots, so I don't mind it. I think that we are going to see more balance between the lines, I'm sure, than maybe the Rantanen folks would like to see. There was some discussion in the episode chat after Sunday's mega show about how Guentzel, really did have a lot of success, even with a bit of a downgrade in terms of minutes after his trade. So I know the Rantanen folks would love to see him get his feet under himself a little bit and be able to pick things up. I imagine it's a tough adjustment. All the news said that he was taken by surprise somewhat by this trade. So maybe that means it does need to, maybe it does take a little bit more time to get used to it when you weren't expecting something like this. I think that's a pretty interesting move there. And I did want to add on just while we've been talking, it's one of the joys of doing a live show while games are still happening. But we did just see a goal featuring Natchez and Drury. Drury scored from Natchez and Josh Manson. So a few more points to add in for our recently traded players trying to get in good with their new teams, even probably the low man on the totem pole as far as this trade goes in Jack Drury.
One quick note here, Lewis, that I forgot to mention earlier, but Eric Tulski, GM of the Carolina Hurricanes, did appear on The Sheet, Jeff Merrick's podcast with The Nation Network on Monday. And he said that they had acquired Hall because of his speed and ability to get in on the forecheck, as well as his ability to back off defenders at the blue line in transition. And so clearly they see something in him that other teams perhaps are not seeing right now. You know, Chicago had him playing on the fourth line, so they're going to make Chicago look pretty bad here, I think, with this deal. In my opinion, if Eric Robinson can look good on this team, like you mentioned, one of those no-name players who's seen some success higher up in the lineup on Carolina, then I like Taylor Hall's chances. Hey, he's a former first overall pick after all.
Absolutely. And, you know, we know his top scoring days are in the past, but, you know, this is a team that, you know, we've seen be able to kind of reinvigorate some players with some creative lineups. And I'm just really interested to see how both these teams are going to have these new players shake out. And hopefully we'll see both of them make their way into the playoffs. And heck, they could even square off for the Stanley Cup at the end of all of this. So could be really fascinating stuff. Just as fun as it is to go up against someone who you've traded with in fantasy during the season, like I am right now. I think it's fun to see sort of, you know, how do things really play out? How far did these guys get with the moves that they made?
While we're talking about your fantasy team in particular here, Lewis, why don't we talk about one of your favorite topics? We've bandied this one about quite a bit today, but confirmed today by Bill Guerin that Kirill Kaprizov, you know, is suffering from an injury, the same one that kept him out of the lineup earlier. And it looks like that injury is going to require surgery. It's not season ending, but it may be fantasy season ending. Because it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks. Week to week is what Guerin says, but a minimum of 4 weeks with the possibility of 6 weeks here. I want to know how you're feeling right now. You know, I'm going to hold space for you because I know this is a difficult time.
Well, you know, this is a bit of a lost season. I'll do a postmortem at some point during the summer, I suppose. But yeah, the injury bug has been really tough. I have a newfound sympathy for anyone who has lost a season to injury. It's just tough when you look forward to something all year and then doesn't turn out quite the way you want it. And it's mostly for things that are outside of your control. I thought for a minute, if I could get Drew Doughty back in, then I could play my first night of fantasy hockey this season without a top 10 pick on injured reserve. Instead, tonight I have three, so I'm right back in my sweet spot. Hanging in there as best I can, thanks to some heroics from some Buffalo players that we'll talk about in a little bit. So the top line with Kaprizov out right now, Boldy Zuccarello and Joel Eriksson Ek. I do think, you know, if there's anyone this might help, I don't know that it will do anything more than kind of break even, but I do think that it kind of makes Boldy the guy here for the Wild. So I think we'll see his ice time increase. He'll see more opportunity. You know, he was already seeing a lot and doing a lot with it, but this could be a chance for him to even improve on his very nice numbers from throughout the season. I do think it's going to be a drag on, you know, players like Joel Eriksson Ek, like whoever the, you know, flavor of the month power play quarterback may happen to be. So that all is very unfortunate. You know, we've been talking a little bit about Gustafsson and how he was wilting a little bit under the pressure of all of the defensive injuries. You know, the defense is starting to come back, but now losing, you know, your top forward, that's going to be tough in terms of your run support. I think it overall is going to hurt the team. I think Boldy might tread water here a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to have to be the guy, unfortunately. Well, or fortunately, I guess, for his managers, but he's going to have to take a step if Minnesota has any hope of, you know, making the playoffs and making some noise and making a Kirill Kaprizov return worth it for the team right now. They just can't catch a break with this player. You know, there was a big debate earlier today in our Discord about where Kirill Kaprizov shows up in the draft next year. I know there were parts of this year when Kaprizov was on his Hart Trophy campaign when we were thinking maybe Kaprizov is kind of at a Draisaitl level. But personally, for me and for Shams in particular, I know was trumpeting this view that these injuries that he keeps, you know, accruing, you know, even though they seem to be, you know, targeting the back, you know, these cross checks that he takes a lot, you know, these injuries make him very unreliable. And so although he will be probably a first round talent next year, I think it's probably, again, more towards the back. It's just really unfortunate what's happening in Minnesota there.
Yeah, you know, I didn't look at it as a pattern this season, but, you know, obviously we will head into next season with more data. And now he is looking like a Band-Aid boy. Obviously, the slashes to the wrist have not been great either. Just an unfortunate way to go for a guy who seemed like he kind of belonged in the same tier as Rantanen and Draisaitl. But obviously, if we're concerned that he's going to be missing big chunks of the season, then that is going to put him, we're going to have to move him down a little bit there. But, maybe that means that, next year he plays 79 games and whoever grabs him, at ninth, 10th is feeling really good. So, it's all going to be about how to make that play in the first round. They always say you can lose the draft in the first round, but you can't really win it. So limiting your risk, I think, is going to be really important. So seeing how this plays out. But this is a topic, I think, for down the line. In the meantime, obviously, rough overall for our guy, but we're hoping he's able to make it back at least for the fantasy playoffs. Let's check in on some of these hot rookies that were being discussed on the Mega Show, because we do have some key updates to share with some of them. I'll start with Marco Kasper. A guy that I added, dropped, and added back, even though it didn't give me any additional games. He's been playing line one, and last game was deployed on the top power play with Dylan Larkin and Lucas Raymond. That top line has just been flourishing under new coach Todd McClellan. I know there was some concern for myself, too, that we might see the Red Wings kind of bunker down and play a really strict defensive style like we've seen McClellan do at times, but he is letting that top line cook. Rachel Hotmeyer tweeted, "This Red Wing top line has to stick. 9-point night for Kasper, Larkin, Raymond on Monday. 10 games together since January 10th. The trio has combined for 37 points. I don't see any reason why you would see Kasper leave that top line or leave the top power play. The only potential threat that I see down the lineup right now is a working his way back to the lineup, Vladimir Tarasenko. But the Red Wings have been happy to have him on the second line and the second power play for most of the season. So why mess with a good thing when you're finally having some success? So really liking Marco Kasper right now. Kind of reminds me of when I ran out to grab Adam Fantilli, because he was moving into that spot that Sean Monahan had vacated. But this one looks like, it has the potential to stick. Obviously, he's a very young player. Maybe he makes one bad turnover and he's banished to the third line for a game. But I would keep an eye on this guy. Certainly add him to your watch list if he's not on your roster or someone else's roster. How about Jiří Kulik over in Buffalo?
Yeah, Jiří Kulik is the player that Kulik. Yes, that's correct. It is Jiří Kulik, as the Rochester Americans announcers call him. And he'll be the player that I'm championing right now, although I have enjoyed owning Marco Kasper in Dynasty this season, and I'm excited to see where he goes. Kulik has been playing on line one with Tage Thompson and J.J. Paterka, who tonight blew the doors off of the Boston Bruins in a 7-2 drubbing, a hat trick each for Thompson and Paterka with an assist to boot, plus six, and they were on the ice for every goal except for Zach Benson's goal at the end. So a very exciting night. Kulik got in on the action. He had an assist. That's pretty exciting for a rookie. I wanted to share this tweet from Lance Lazowski, featuring a quote from former 1,100-game veteran of the NHL, Vaclav Vinny Prospel, who is now an assistant coach with the Amerks in Rochester, talking about Kulik's impact in the NHL. He had this to say: "That's a player who stole ice time and a job from somebody else, and that's great to see. Obviously, Cooley is a great project of the Americs, and Seth Appert spent more time with him." That's the head coach of the Rochester Americans than Prospel did. "But selfishly, I would like to see him here because I did not believe he was ready for the NHL. He's proving me wrong. That's the best thing a coach can see, that he's proving you wrong and ready for the NHL. He's playing like a possessed man, saying with his play and body language, 'Hey, I'm here. I'm here to stay. I'm here to steal somebody's job, and I'm here to be a Buffalo Sabre.' And the Sabres up to this point, haven't made it difficult for him. He's been excellent since joining the Buffalo Sabres, and with the assist tonight, continues his hot streak. He did seem to kind of split time tonight with the Thompson-Paterka line and the Tuck-Cousins line, but either way, that's great lineup placement for him, and I don't think he's going anywhere."
Yeah, I think anytime you're in the top six with that combination, you're feeling pretty good about your position. And obviously, yeah, huge night for Thompson and Paterka. There was some debate over a late fight that Paterka got involved in, although he only got a roughing minor. Does that count as a Gordie Howe hat trick? I think having the real hat trick and the assist and the scuffle, the kerfuffle, the Donnybrook might put Paterka, in the double hat trick range for what he was accomplishing there. So nice for him. We also have Frank Nazar, who's playing line one with Bedard and Bertuzzi. Good Michigan boy there. The Hall trade double certainly blue. Opens up some lineup space for him to stay. You know, that's been a pretty interesting spot for him, I think, to be sure. Kind of into Nazar in that position. I love that he is getting that time with Bedard. Bedard had a beautiful snipe in their defeat of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are probably run a little bit ragged here. They have been going hard for a couple weeks now, so maybe a little bit out of gas against Chicago.
Yeah, the Nazar lineup placement with Bedard and Bertuzzi is probably the best version of line one they've had all year in Chicago, and he was excellent earlier this year with the AHL team as well. So again, I don't think he's going anywhere, and someone else who's not going anywhere is Will Smith, although I don't think he is quite on the same level as Nazar Kulik or Kasper at this point. He is on the quasi line one, at least the way that they are listed by the beat writers, with Granlund and Zetterlund, although that line has the third most five-on-five time on ice in recent games. Will Smith is on a five-game point streak right now, so that's exciting for him. One thing I would like to say here about Smith is that he jumped right into the NHL. You know, in a perfect world, I think he would get some AHL time with the Barracudas. Compared to these other three guys, Kulik, Kasper, and Nazar, who all got AHL time, I think he will be behind the eight ball as he develops in the NHL instead of the American League. Each of Kulik, Kasper, and Nazar have dominated in the AHL for better or for worse, and now they are getting the opportunity on the top line or in the top six to really show their stuff. I wanted to take the opportunity here, Lewis, to do exactly what Brian and Elon did the other night on the Sunday Mega Show and present our rankings for these four players as they did. For me, even though Kasper had a very exciting 2-goal-1-assist night last night and is on power play one, I think I'm still going to take Kulik for the rest of the season. I just think he's fit in very well in that 1C role with Thompson on the wing, especially if Thompson's injury that he is playing through continues to bug him in the faceoff circle. I think Kulik has been doing pretty well in that spot. So I think I would go Kulik over Kasper and then Nazar and Smith. How do you see it?
So I think we're pretty close. I'm going to swap Kasper and Kulik just because I think that Kasper has even less of a threat to his potential position with the way that he is playing and the chemistry he's found. It really feels like kind of we talked about how Dylan Holloway broke in with the new coach and really impressed and was rewarded by being put in, you know, a position to score. So I really like to see that clearly from the quote. I think that Kulik is doing the same thing, but there is a little bit more forward talent, depth of forward talent for Buffalo, even though they don't always show it. And, you know, we've seen the Sabres go quite cold. Of course, the Red Wings have had long stretches of ineffectiveness as well. I see them as very close, but I'm going to have Kasper ahead of Kulik by a nose. Maybe that's a little bit of home cooking on my end. And then as far as Nazar and Smith go, I agree with you. I like Frank up there with Bedard. I would like Smith more if he was getting that time with Celebrini. Granlund, you know, fine, and has certainly perked up since Elon and Shams were talking about maybe they should start to think about putting him on the drop list. But yeah, I would rather have him out there with Celebrini. And since he's not there, I think he belongs in that fourth spot. And my money where my mouth is. I've got Kasper on my roster. Smith, I dropped in order to add him.
Totally makes sense. The Red Wings fan in you is coming out here, but I think, you know, given Kaspar's lineup placement, I don't begrudge you that decision at all.
All right. Well, we're going to head into a quick break here, but on the other side, we'll talk about some more movement around on some potential power plays, maybe a goalie taking over a 1A position, and then we've got a hot and cold streak to discuss. You're listening to Short Shifts.
Playoffs. We're talking about playoffs. You bet we are. Get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Scoring touchdowns is the key to winning in the playoffs, and you can score big by betting on them at DraftKings, the number one place to bet touchdowns. Ready to place your first bet? Try betting on something simple like a player to score six. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app and make your pick. Or hey, if you want to bet on hockey, I'm taking a look now at DraftKings Sportsbook over on the Calder odds for this year. Man, I really got it wrong putting my money on Matvei Michkov in my earlier episode. episode with Victor. Michkov is at a plus 2,500 odds subject to change. So looks like they are not predicting that he's going to make me look smart here. It's Macklin Celebrini and Lane Hutson as the two favorites at the moment. If you agree or if you feel differently, hey, maybe you'll want to make a bet over on DraftKings. New DraftKings customers, by the way, can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back to Short Shifts. Ryan, let's head over to Philly, where, you know, it wouldn't be a Tuesday Short Shifts if we weren't talking about some kind of power play chaos over in Philadelphia. We saw Rasmus Ristolainen take over on power play one. Drysdale has been snoozing. He had that nice little 4 points in three games, but nothing in the six games since. Permission to drop 100%. I ditched him after back-to-back 16 minutes games on the 16th and the 18th. Travis Sanheim saw a little bit of time on the first power play. He's still supplying shots and blocks and a few hits, but he's also been quite cold, just one assist in the past seven games. But I think if you liked what Drysdale was providing for you before, you probably still like him now. You're just hoping he gets in on a few more of those goals. But Risto was the interesting one. He had two assists, including one on the power play on the Flyers' win over New Jersey. He actually saw his ice time dip, and he didn't take a shot, but he did see 75% of that power play ice time. So I think that's kind of nice. I would not necessarily run out and add him. There was definitely some message sending taking place, especially later in that game, despite the lead, including Michkov, who we'll talk about here in just a minute, being benched for more than half of the third period. But Risto is appealing in that role because, unlike Drysdale, he can provide some peripherals while also getting that power play exposure. You know, he's been obviously a quality perifs guy for a long time, but if he is going to get an extended look there, I kind of like it, but I'm not confident necessarily that that's going to happen. They do have a lot of options. All of those options are kind of B minus C plus. So I don't think any of them are especially appealing, and I don't know that anyone is really going to grab that job and hold it for any especially extended time. So you got to be quick on your feet if you're going to play the Philadelphia Defenders game. Just quickly, reportedly, Michkov was at practice 10 minutes before anybody else today. So he seems to be buying in, or at least understanding what Tortorella wants to see. You know, it's been a struggle for him. 5 points in the last 14 games, and in seven of those games, he's played under 15 minutes, including under 10 on Monday night. Is he kind of hitting the wall? We know, obviously, he's never played a full NHL season, a season this long. Is it worth holding him through these freshman struggles? I got to say, I'm feeling pretty good about my deal to send him away for Patrick Laine, who obviously has a bit more experience and has been through this before, even though, yes, he's got these injuries that he's struggled with as well.
I think you're absolutely right for having done that deal. I would have done that deal 1,000 times out of 1,000. You know, I think Michkov is one of those guys, and I think we'll see it obviously in years to come, but I think he's one of those players who needs to have more ice time to be effective. He needs to touch the puck. He needs to get into the flow of the game. 15 minutes is not going to cut it for a player like him. And under the Tort system, I don't think he's going to get much more as a rookie. You know, and this is not one of those typical situations where you're like, oh, Torts hates the rookie. No. He doesn't, actually. You know, Michkov, in a interview with his translator recently, said that he loves playing for Tortorella and that Tortorella is direct and he gives him feedback and that he appreciates that. You know, as a young player coming into the league, he wants to play for Tortorella. And clearly, like you said, like, he showed up to practice early today. He's trying to get everything he can out of this player. And certainly, you know, Michkov will be good, but I don't think he will be necessarily a hold this season.
All right. Let's then head over to San Jose, where we've maybe had a bit of sea change in the crease. What's the latest over there, Ryan?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I noticed this. I'm an Askarov owner, which is great. Like Elon in Dynasty, very happy to have him. And he actually was very good for Ed Swan and I and our co-managed team of the Fantasy Hockey League tiered Dynasty Lord Stanley division. He had a great game last night against Pittsburgh, the Evgeny Malkin-less Pittsburgh Penguins, who are now just a one-line team with Crosby, Rust, and Raquel, and nobody else. And so that probably explains why they only scored one goal against Askarov on 31 shots. And that was great to see. You know, good to see him get a quality start. He has been the starter for the San Jose Sharks for the past five games, playing in four of those games with Forgiev, or, you know, Gorgiev, as you know, we've come to know him as Forgiev because he keeps letting in all these goals. And it looks like that is going to continue in San Jose, which is why they're giving Askarov a shot here. I think it's interesting to note that Vanecek will be coming back. And so we're gonna see really what they think of Askarov and whether he should be in the NHL right now. He hasn't exactly been covering himself in glory aside from yesterday's game, letting in 3, 6, 4, and 3 goals in his last four starts before that, with sub 900 save percentages and negative gold saves above average, getting pulled in one of those games against Florida. So, you know, it's good to see him doing well against a team like Pittsburgh, but we'll see if they want to kind of preserve him and send him back to face in a weaker competition in the AHL.
Yeah, I do wonder if in the effort to, you know, connect him with more winning culture, if he does see some AHL time, it's not that, you know, San Jose doesn't have delusions of competitiveness this season in terms of the postseason. They know, you know, that they want to show improvement, that they want to demonstrate to the fan base that, you know, things are coming along, but there's no reason to rush Askarov. And so it does make me worry a little bit that he could be down. So it was good that he made, you know, took advantage of his opportunity against, let's be real, an extremely lifeless looking Penguins team. The Twitterati were just despairing over how disengaged they kind of looked there. But, you know, listen, you got to win the games against whoever you're up against. And I think it's good, obviously, that he was able to shut them down and put together a really nice start. But, you know, if I were to go out and grab him, I would not be surprised if I later had to cycle him out as he maybe sees some time in the A, especially once Vanecek gets back. You also wanted to tell us a little bit about some defensive things to talk about in Utah. No Jersey coming back, right? That's the, we're not ready to talk about that. That was one of my no. I think that might have been my original defensive injury from one of my draft picks here.
Yeah, Lewis, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I don't think you'll be seeing him anytime soon. And the Utah Hockey Club aren't going to see a very high-quality defenseman in Sergachev, who is still day-to-day from his injury over the weekend. You know, I think at points we were talking about maybe adding Michael Kesselring. And, you know, he had some interesting point totals in the Cupful until the last game where he was a cardio session, zeros across the board. He's a tenuous hold for now, but with Sergachev day-to-day, I think you need to be ready to just drop Kesselring and bring Sergachev back into your lineup. And even then, you know, I think there's probably other defensemen out there that are probably available. You know, perhaps your league hasn't jumped on the Darren Radish train. Perhaps the defenseman who I shan't be naming, but who has returned from the KHL with the New York Islanders, maybe he's out there. You know, for you, but Kesselring can't be one of the better defensemen on your team right now.
Yeah, Tony DeAngelo did pick up an assist here today, a secondary assist, but the assist nonetheless. So I'm sure he's excited to be scoring again on in North America. So good on him. You mentioned Darren Radish. He has had a couple games without scoring a point, but he is still putting up some nice peripherals for you and getting majority power play time. So still, I think, someone worth hanging on in a wait and see fashion. Let's talk. Let's get into some hot and cold streaks here. I've got a hot streak that I kind of don't believe. Oliver Ekman-Larsson playing second power play, because there are, of course, no defensemen on the first power play for the Leafs. They have longer than most teams held together with their 5-forward power play. So good on them. Love to see something a little bit different, a little more interesting in this copycat league here. But Oliver Ekman-Larsson, 6 points in the last 4 games. Now, you know, we're not expecting him, I think, to go on, you know, a whatever, 120 20-point pace or whatever that might be. But, you know, is this a guy that is worth an ad here? Can we expect this to start at all? Is this just a weird blip that we're seeing?
It's a weird blip, Lewis. And while I would probably take OEL over someone like Kesselring or maybe even Tony D'Angelo, I don't think you can believe this 6 points in four games. Even with OEL being so hot, he is still behind Morgan Riley in total points on the season. And, you know, in Leafland, we've been talking about trading Riley because he's mired in the cold streak of all cold streaks right now. The reality is that since Craig Berube came into town, the Leafs D is not as involved in the offense as much as they were with Sheldon Keefe. And unless your name is Simon Benoit and you're making an ill-advised pinch into the offensive zone like he likes to do every now and again, the guys just aren't activating in the O-zone. They're not getting involved. They're really functioning as backboards in the offensive zone more than anything else. That five forward power play locks OEL out of more scoring. And he's on that second power play with Morgan Riley. So, you know, there's not a whole lot going on that second power play. They don't get as much time as the superstar power play in Toronto. And the Leafs, last I checked, I think they were maybe 31st or 32nd in scoring from the defense in all of the NHL. It's just not a function of their game. And so as a result, I cannot recommend adding any Leafs D.
Yeah, I think it's always important just to kind of take a look at some of these and evaluate them because, you know, if you're sorting your available free agent defenseman by points over the last 14 days, OEL is going to be up there. But yeah, I think it's important too, even as we're talking about how, you know, good some of these exciting hot streaks are and how you're going to run out and grab this person, I think it's just as important to be able to have the patience and have the discipline to say, yes, this looks really good, but it's hard to believe in it. Despite the fact that he's been on a nice little run. And of course, that 6 points in four games does involve a one goal, two assist game, you know, not the kind of thing that you're typically going to see there. So maybe if it was a little more spread out, maybe if there was a lot more shooting, maybe if he was even the top defensive option on his second power play, and he's none of those things. No. And so, yeah, I think this is a mirage and we don't want to be fooled. Speaking of, maybe Mirage reminds me of being lost in the desert. And that makes me think of the Ottawa offense to a certain degree, although they did perk up a little bit here. But man, is Drake Batherson ever cold? One goal on his last 40 shots, six assists for a total of 7 points over the last 20 games. Ryan, what is going on with this guy? What do you do if you are a Drake Batherson owner? He was so hot before that even this horrible cold streak that he's mired in, he's still on a pretty nice pace.
I think, you know, lost in the desert is the exact right way to describe the Ottawa Senators offense right now. I wouldn't want to be holding on to any of them. In fact, I am holding on to Brady Tkachuk. You can't drop a player like that. And I feel like Brady is in such a cold streak. He did score the other day, but it's just been 14 and 15 games from him. Stützle was on cold streaks too. And there is a very simple reason for this. You're talking about the Sens being in the general malaise. I talk about them having the wrong coach for the team. They hired Travis Green over the summer. Seemed like a bit of a last minute move as other, coaches got snapped up. Travis Green doubles down on defense. That's what he does as a coach, which limits the offensive upside of your star players. You look in Vancouver, those guys were not doing quite as well when he was in charge of the team. Look no further than on the Frozen Tools page for the Ottawa Senators, where in the last four games, they are cold in scoring with only 5 goals scored in 4 games played, but hot in defending with 3 goals against in the last 3 games. And indeed, they won 2 of those games, lost 1 of them in a shutout. The Sens are just getting shut out a lot this year. The Sens have scored more than 3 goals 4 times in the last 2 months. That's 4 games where they have scored more than 3 goals. So I just think instead of a general malaise, I think you can call this an intentional coaching decision. I don't think he's the right coach for this particular group of players, which we have seen perform and be a thrilling offensive team under different leadership.
Yeah, I think that's some really good analysis there. I appreciate, you know, the way that the coach can come in and have an impact like that. And again, you know, that was something, it doesn't always happen that way, right? Because that was something that I was really concerned about with the Red Wings picking up Todd McClellan, but he's shown a willingness to be a little bit more open. And listen, you know, I think we don't want to completely discount something that has, you know, worked to a certain extent. Like you said, they've won two of those three games despite their lack of scoring recently. So with that in mind, I think it is valuable and it is important to sort of think about, you know, don't completely pigeonhole these coaches because, you know, they can change and they can break character. They just don't always. And I don't know that we're going to see Travis Green make a big effort to break character, you know, for the remainder of this season here. And yeah, that may limit some of the success. Now, I will say, you know, Batherson scoring one goal in his last 40 shots is pretty wild. And we are going to see some normalization. We are going to see some regression to the mean. It's not like Travis Green is telling him to shoot the puck into the center of the goalie, right? So, you know, I think we will see that pick up. I think, you know, just like we were talking about Brady being able to, you know, start to put things together. And he had been ice cold. I think we'll see things improve. Still seeing him shoot twice a game. And like I said, still on 40 points in 50 games. You know, maybe not as high as some folks sort of hoped that he would reach, but still a very nice pace. But it just has been a testament to the hotness of his start and the coldness of his recent efforts here. Ryan, we are at the end of our show run here. Thanks so much. I think this was a really interesting episode. As always, some great analysis there. Really nice to have you back. It's been almost a month. It's been a long time since we had you on the air. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks. It's been great to be back. I loved watching Elizabeth step in to host some of those shows. Lots of great analysis there. And thanks to the Short Shifts team for arranging around my work schedule, which can be a little challenging at pockets in the season, certainly the opera season. Those of you may or may not know that I'm an opera singer and I work at Canada's premier opera company. And so sometimes Tuesdays are just out of the question. And so I'm appreciative of the Short Shifts team for picking up the slack.
Well, we love that you are willing to share your voice with us when you're not out there on the stage or just on the stage of the StreamYard here. So really fun. And thank all of you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes. You can join the Discord and interact with Brian, Elon, the whole Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our very active Discord server. Check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter, including being able to search team by team and searchable tweets by player name. Please visit that site and all the great sites we use to research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. And until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.